Scriptural Relation of Religion and the State, Chapter 11, Danger Ahead. The ocean of human life is traversed by many currents of thought and sentiment. Some drift this way, some are drifting that way, but few are drifting directly toward the desired haven. There is one harbor which every thoughtful and earnest mariner hopes to make sooner or later, a place of refuge and safety from which he can overlook the troubled waters which now rock and toss his fragile craft and realize that they are all behind him, that peril and anxiety are in the past, that clouds and tempest will no more threaten nor cause him unrest. But the only way to reach that peaceful spot is to study closely the chart, to consult often the compass, keep the helm steady in spite of waves, to take reckonings frequently, and see that we depart not from the instructions under which we sail. The Bible is the book of instructions. The Holy Spirit points out the way. Thoughtful, calm courage and earnest, persevering efforts will, with faith in God, bring us safely through. The Church of Christ is particularly exposed to danger. Every erratic current of human passion or folly strikes her with full force. She is tempted by delusive worldly inducements to depart from the right way. Storms of trial and persecution have hedged up the way, but to those who have faithfully kept the word of patience, the hand of divine grace has ever been extended. There have been times of special danger when the enemy has come in like a flood, and it has seemed that all would be lost. But God has never for a moment changed his purpose of bringing safely through all this turmoil a people for himself. The greatest peril to which the church has ever been exposed is from the current of popular favor. There is such a temptation to run with the tide, especially when the tide goes in the direction we wish to go. Direct opposition or persecution will never destroy the work of God. The blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. The violent dealings of those who oppose God's work recoil at last upon their own pates, while their acts of injustice and cruelty awaken in the oppressed every energy of resistance and invoke in their behalf the compassion and special grace of heaven. But when the world smiles upon the church, when statesmen and rulers stand ready to do her bidding, when arbitrary power to dictate to the people is offered her, then comes the critical moment of trial. It requires special wisdom and strong faith in God to enable the church at this moment to realize that her only strength is in the Lord, that her only armor of power is the beautiful robe of Christ's righteousness, that her safety consists in doing justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. The sentiment expressed by our Savior in these words, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers unto the false prophets," is abundantly justified in the history of the church. Prosperity and power are the parents of apostasy, as has been proven many times. The whole history of the Christian religion shows that the church is in far greater danger of being corrupted by the alliance of power than of being crushed by its opposition. Macaulay. Many imagine that the doctrine of the gospel requires the support of civil power. They know not that it advances without this power, and it is often trammeled and enfeebled by it. Daubigny. It is true that all the currents of human sentiment are not at the present time favorable to the popularity of the church and the work she has in hand. Satan has dropped none of his schemes. He works upon different minds in different ways, according as he can manipulate them. If he can drive some men to take up arms in open rebellion against the God of heaven, he is pleased to hear their ribald boasting and their coarse shouts of defiance. Others he lulls to sleep under the influence of stupid indifference to the claim of God. But his masterpiece is to obtain control of the work of God by seducing the church with the glamour of worldly glory, with the praise and flattery of men. He comes with the very same temptation that he once presented to the great head of the church. He takes the church up into a high mountain, showing her all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and says, All these will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. The devil is presenting these same temptations to the church today. The kingdoms of the world are at the disposal of the church if she will do Satan's bidding. It is true the condition is not couched in these words, for that would not do. But it is not difficult to discover the source of such an offer, and we know without question what the condition would be. May the church and people of God have courage to enable them in this trying hour to reply, in the words of the Master, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Look abroad in the world, and in all Christendom we see the enemy leading the professed Church of Christ up the heights where stands Caesar's palace. The earthly powers are waiting and listening to her requests. In the United States of America, that land of boasted liberty and religious equality, the government, both in its legislative and judicial capacities, has declared that it is a Christian nation, has taken up the work of the Church, and in violent opposition to the great principles laid down by the founders of that republic, has begun the sad work of trampling underfoot the most sacred privileges of its citizens, bestowed upon all men by their Creator, and guaranteed to them by the National Constitution, the rights of conscience. The political institutions of that country were established upon the two great principles of civil and religious liberty and equality. But in its history, the first has been ignored, while millions of blacks were enslaved in the South. And now the second principle is being ruthlessly sacrificed to please a popular and powerful church. This great revolution of sentiment and situation in that country is one of the most striking signs of our times. But we see the same elements at work elsewhere, even at home. Demands for legislative restrictions upon the actions of men in matters of religious duty, calls for help from the civil power, are being sent in, and these calls are not meeting with an indifferent reception. The church has power in political matters, and those who love official honor and a political career will not forget it. This is the greatest danger to which the church at the present time is exposed. It was in the quagmire of popular favor that the church lost her high standing in the days of Constantine. It was here the church buried her spirituality and lost the power of the presence of God. She lost her purity of character and became henceforth the mother of abominations. Is there no warning in these things for us? Verily, these things happened unto them for ensamples, and are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.